Healthy Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceemanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceemanywaters.org.
Well, good morning. This is Joel Skousen, editor of the World Affairs Brief, standing in for Dr. Stan on American Freedom Radio. We're going to talk about today's World Affairs Brief, which is coming out shortly. Our first topic is Sybil Edmonds, the former FBI translator and whistleblower. She drops a Turkish bombshell on the media, and there's a great deal of attempts to suppress what her testimony is going to talk about. She's a whistleblower against the FBI, a former FBI translator, as I said, a U.S. citizen who was raised in Turkey, fluent in the language. She got a job as a translator with the FBI, where over the next several years she got wind of things she wasn't supposed to see or hear. She became a whistleblower after the FBI hierarchy discovered collusion, collusion between other Turkish translators at the FBI and Middle East terrorists, government officials, and even congressmen and women. Naturally, this was something the FBI should have been interested in investigating, but they weren't, apparently. When she went to her superiors at the Bureau and the treachery, about the treachery she was witnessing within the translator's office, she was stonewalled at every step of the way and finally fired when she blew the whistle on theirs. Ever since, the FBI and the Department of Justice have been using every legal, illegal, and unethical means to keep her from testifying openly about what she knows, put a gag order on her, and she finally has a reason to break her gag order. This week, she took the witness stand before the Ohio Election Commission, based on her allegations of Turkish influence buying in the electoral process of the one of the representatives, Representative Schmidt of Ohio, a Republican. According to Edmonds' press release explaining why she's finally breaking her government-imposed gag order, she says, "The government of Turkey had illegally infiltrated and influenced various U.S. government institutions and officials, including the Department of State, the Department of Defense, and individual members of Congress. Her no-holds-barred testimony is shaking the establishment precisely because her own government is involved in using Turkey as an intermediate in various nefarious affairs in the Middle East. That's why Turkey has been able to have its way in the U.S. without much restriction or prosecution." Apparently, Edmonds got a glimpse of a much larger government conspiracy centered around Turkish interests and secret foreign policy interests that involve Israel, energy pipelines, and state-sponsored terrorism. And ever since the demise of the Ottoman Empire, Turkey has had to make deals with the West in order to remain a player in world politics. Strategically located between all the major powers in Europe and the Middle East, Turkey acts as a smuggling facilitator of everything illicit going between the European powers and this nexus of conflict. In return, Turkey wants EU membership, which has been rejected, and is now turning to Russia for a deal with the other side. And I'll cover more on that just after this story on Edmonds. Because the government doesn't want any of this to get to the public, Google has blocked Edmonds' blog during this period, and along with every other establishment outlet, has refused to publish anything about her dramatic revelations before the Ohio Election Commission. Google has got initial funding, from the CIA, is more and more acting like a de facto government censor and propagandist. Kurt Nimmo of PrisonPlanet.com commented, "Increasingly, Google and its properties, the vastly popular YouTube site, are tools for shutting down the opposition to government. On the weekend, Google removed an Alex Jones video critical of Obama's policies." The main story about Sybil Edmonds' case is being covered by Brad Friedman of Brad's blog. He's got the best coverage concerning this testimony, and here are some key excerpts. He says the deposition has now begun inside the National Whistleblower Center. Now, that's a center actually begun by Sybil Edmonds on behalf of many whistleblowers who, despite the presence of whistleblower laws in the United States, are uniformly persecuted by government agencies which have fired them and harassed them, and the whistleblower protection law is nothing more than a paper tiger, is not being enforced by the Department of Justice upon government, but rather is being used to further discourage whistleblowers. But apparently, even though the deposition has begun, it has not apparently been blocked by an assertion of state secrets privileged by the DOJ, or Department of Justice. Though there are some, was some late-night legal back and forth on last Friday night between the Department of Justice and the OEC, Senator Krikorian, the primary Ohio State Senator prosecuting this case before the Ohio Election Commission, the OEC, added that he wouldn't be surprised if someone from DOJ showed up later today to protest what's going on at the deposition. Krikorian did not seem dissuaded by the FBI and the DOJ's attempt to block Edmonds' testimony, and that they intended to be thorough in their deposition. That's pretty much the whole point of this exercise, he told Brad Freeman. Schmidt, Ohio's beleaguered congressman, who is being accused of being bribed by the Turkish community, his attorney is Bruce Fine, the one-time associate deputy attorney general in the Reagan administration, who was, strangely enough, over the past years become a fierce critic of the Bush administration, but is now defending, in essence, the policies that the Bush administration started with Turkey. There are apparently a handful of mostly independent news media outlets present during the deposition. No corporate media whatsoever. The DOJ, he says, as of noon, is still a no-show, so the questioning has proceeded, and Edmonds has been able to say everything she hadn't been able to tell the public so far, implicating many members of Congress in a criminal conspiracy. Edmonds' attorney reported, the Justice Department decided not to show, therefore the deposition has pretty much gone smoothly as we anticipated. Edmonds told Brad Friedman that Bruce Fine is raising objections to everything. So apparently what's happened is Bruce Fine, being an old Republican hack, has decided to play the defensive role for and behalf the DOJ so that they don't have to implicate the Obama administration in this. As I make a point often in the World Affairs Brief, there really is no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats anymore, that they're both controlled by powerful interests, globalist interests. And Bruce Fine seems to be representing them. More on this story after the break.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East 106th Avenue in Brighton.
Good morning. This is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, standing in for Stan Monteith. We're talking about Sybil Edmonds' testimony before the Ohio Election Commission, where she's naming names finally about members of Congress and government who are involved in this conspiracy to essentially reward Turkey for its secret dealings with the United States government. She has named names, even though Bruce Fein is acting the role of standing in for the government, raising objections to everything that she says. She's been asked questions and has answered every one. Questions on Dan Burton, Republican of Indiana. He's involved in the scandal. Dennis Hastert, now a lobbyist for Turkey, interestingly enough. He's retired from Congress, used to be the top Republican in Congress, and Stephen Salars, Democrat from New York, as well as other questions she's answered on those high-ranking officials and lobbyists in her state secrets gallery. This is a list of photos without names on her website showcasing the bad guys who were in government and Congress, and the reason she didn't put any names on those is because of this gag order, but now she's free to name names. The deposition is being videotaped, and Edmonds hoped that it can be released as soon as possible after the deposition. There have been some objections from Bruce Fein and others against releasing the videotape, obviously. You know, they don't want the American people to know what she is saying. Current members implicated are, as I said, Dan Burton, Republican of Illinois, described as basically accepting bribes and involved in espionage for the Turkish government. She could not discuss the extreme illegal activities that Mr. Burton committed against U.S. interests, as she put it. Also, a current female Democratic member of Congress who has been blackmailed by the Turkish government, called a hooking exercise. She's apparently bisexual, and they bugged her apartment. She's married with children, and they set up a relationship with another female who went in and had relationships with her. And they had all the episodes videotaped within the current representative's homes, and they blackmailed her. Wayne Madsen of Wayne Madsen Report revealed that the congressman is none other than Jan Schakowsky, Democrat of Illinois, close ally of President Barack Obama, and his chief of staff, former Representative Rahm Emanuel, who, like Schakowsky, represented a Chicago district. I mean, this is the same old corrupt Chicago politics that is following us because of whether it's the governor scandal, selling votes for Congress, or Barack Obama selling out to the globalists to become the presidential candidate, or Rahm Emanuel, his hitman, congressman turned chief of staff. This is about as dirty politics as it comes, other than New York City. Well, the context of the discussion with this particular representative, Schakowsky, was amenable to passage of the Armenia genocide resolution, which Turkey doesn't want passed. The Armenian genocide was carried out by the Turkish government of the Ottoman Empire in 1915 through 1916. There were some subsidiary attacks in 1922 and 23. 1.5 million Armenians were killed out of a total of 2.5 million Armenians in the Ottoman Empire. So this, of course, has been denied by Turkey. They're very, very sensitive about not wanting this out to the public. And Armenia, a small country next door, is very much interested in having this established as a fact. And the West essentially has been helping to cover up. So the basic purpose of this hooking operation, which was essentially to get dirt on a congressman, and they do this, all congressmen have their lives bugged by the U.S. government so that they can be controlled. Only the ones who are absolutely moral are free from this kind of bugging. But anyway, the purpose of this was to get her to change her position. In reality, no such change was necessary because the Turkish lobby was successful in getting Republicans and key Democrats to call off the vote. And so that allowed, well, nobody had to actually vote for or against this because the leadership called it off. Other people implicated were Congressman Livingston, Republican of Texas, Hastert, as I said, Denny Hastert from Illinois, Dick Gephardt, Democrat from Missouri, and other non-congressional members such as Brent Scowcroft, Kissinger's associate and former National Security Advisor for President H.W. Bush, or George H.W. Bush. One of the reasons we sought her testimony, they said, is especially for these reasons. Brad Friedman says, I can tell you that the counsel for Schmidt has been objecting to much of the testimony. I stopped counting the number of objections that were raised. But Sybil Edmonds is an extremely credible witness. She knows a lot about what happened. She overheard these during wiretaps of the FBI, so this is deep within the bowels of government. She's implicated Turkish organizations operating in the U.S. with both overt and covert operations, such as the American Turkish Council. She talked about how she was recruited to join these operations. She talked about the fact that the Inspector General's report exonerated her. And she talked about the circumstances of her dismissal in the FBI and how the FBI tried to stonewall her attempts to get to the bottom of these things. Well, frankly, as Brad Friedman says, it's disappointing that things like this are happening in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Is it a huge surprise? No, he says. Should it be tolerated? Absolutely not. We're talking about high crimes against the United States government. If the government is aware of these crimes and doesn't prosecute them, I'm not sure what can be said about this. Well, I'm not so timid as to saying what can be said about this, because frankly, this is high crimes and against, not against the United States government, but through the United States government. Our government is deeply involved in this, and that's why they're covering this up. This is a typical reaction from those who are now starting, or at least the comment of Brad Friedman saying, I'm not sure what can be done about this, is a typical reaction from those who are just now starting to learn about these dark side government operations, which I've covered for many years in the World Affairs Brief. They've now been going on for years. Only once in a while does a whistleblower come out and reveal what they know, and that's only a glimpse of the larger picture. Now, going to the Turkish-Russian alliance that's being formed, Turkey is clearly frustrated with the West's failure to live up to its secret promise to reward Turkey with membership in the EU. Public opinion in Europe is very much against allowing any more Turks and Muslims into the EU, since they've had tremendous problems with these minorities demanding special treatment. Turkey has decided to reestablish links with Russia, the nemesis of the West. Once, of course, the worst of enemies involved in 12 wars in 3 centuries, Turkey and Russia have suddenly become the best of friends, forging strong bonds that could be a counterpoint to the European Union if it freezes Turkey out of full membership. The countries call their ties multidimensional cooperation, somewhat euphemistic, short of the typical strategic partnership that is normally touted. But that too may be in the offing. In an 8-hour visit to Turkey, Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin signed 20 deals with his counterpart, Prime Minister Erdogan of Turkey. These are mostly commercial contracts in energy, collectively worth some $400 billion. Now, the IPS News of Great Britain had this commentary. It said the two leaders have also declared that rival gas pipelines Nabucco and South Stream to bring natural gas to European markets would be complementary rather than conflicting. Now, this is a change. Nabucco, a 7.9 billion euro project backed by the EU and the United States, was an attempt to bypass Russia by bringing gas from Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, and Azerbaijan, and Iraq, potentially also from Iran, to Europe via Turkey. It was due to be operational by 2014, and the Russian proposed South Stream pipeline to become operational in 2016 would carry gas from Russia to Europe through Turkey's territorial waters in the Black Sea into southern Europe, Serbia, Hungary, and Slovenia. and Austria. Its objective was to bypass Ukraine, currently the conduit of 80% of Russian gas piped into Europe. Now, what's all the importance of this gas pipeline? Well, you know, Europe is about 60% dependent on Russia for its gas pipeline. And the Nabucco pipes, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, and Azerbaijan, even though they're technically semi-controlled by Russia, it was hoped that they would give some independence to the dependence of Europe on Russian gas, which clearly would be cut off in any future conflict, leaving Europe extremely short of this essential heating fuel and industrial fuel. So now that Turkey's making a deal with Russia, Turkey is no longer a viable ally to the West in preserving the Nabucco pipeline from being cut off. Now, and I think Turkey would still rather be in the Western camp rather than the Russian camp, but I think they're playing hardball, trying to, once again, turn the screws on Europe to reopen the negotiations to allow them into the European Union. And this, of course, is something that the globalists within the European Union want, because they use multicultural conflict, such as been occurring with the Muslim, once you are a member of the EU, citizens of any country can travel just as they do in the United States from one state to another without ever being stopped or having their identity papers checked, and thus it allows them to move about and take jobs wherever they are available. And so naturally they've been streaming into Germany and France, where they have then demanded special minority rights and done, you know, significant amount of rioting in Europe. So it's been a real problem for Europe, and European globalists, just as in the United States, continue to push for an amalgamation of all these conflicting religious and ethnic groups, which cause continual conflict. And so we look for the globalist leadership to continue to push for this multicultural agenda. Well, in other news, there's a backlash building on healthcare reform. The American public's finally waking up about what a disaster life will be under Obama's foot-in-the-door approach to health reform. While Republicans are correctly looking at the general language of the bill and what it could allow in the future, Obama's propaganda legions are concentrating on a narrow interpretation of the bill and denying that private health initiatives will be snuffed out, and denying that all of the things that could be allowed under this health bill will happen. It's clear the Democrats want to sell this program on its minimalist beginnings, but they are all clearly cheering for a future single-payer system dominated by a federally mandated insurance program. Now, whether it's a government single-payer system like Canada or a mixed-payer system with the government and private insurance regulated into identical molds, the result is going to be exactly the same. Well, then, Daily this week analyzed some of the extensive coverage of the public's fury as they attended congressional town hall meetings across the August recess in the United States. She said, in WorldNet Daily, Chelsea Schilling was the author, "Citizens are flocking to town hall forums, letting their representatives know that they object strongly to this change in the healthcare system. Meetings are filled to capacity with thousands waiting outside for their chance to be heard. Legislators coming to their home districts in an attempt to sell the healthcare plan to constituents are being met with a wall of fierce opposition and huge crowds." Steny Hoyer, Democrat of Maryland, was confronted by self-described Democrats who accused him of lying about health reform and protested, "Why would you try to stuff a health care plan down our throats in a couple of days when the president took 6 months to pick a dog for his kids?" In New Hampshire, President Obama hosted a health care town hall, and estimated 2,000 opponents gathered to protest his plan with street signs, etc. Of course, while groups opposed to health care reform arrived in small groups with handmade signs, supporters were bussed in for such organizations as Organizing for American and Healthcare for America Now. These are all Democratic organizations that spilled out of the buses. The Obama campaign has the audacity to complain that only the opposition is organized. Nothing could be further from the truth. At the White House press conference yesterday, one of the reporters took Press Secretary Gibbs to task for the fact that people were receiving emails from the White House propagandizing this health care plan to them, and they had never before contacted the White House, and they were objecting to the fact that their names were being purchased somewhere by the White House to spread large email spam campaigns, essentially, which is against the law. We'll pick up the story after the break.
Hi, Phil here with WolfAutoGroup.com saying thanks for trading with us. We're excited to take your dust collecting or unused assets or valuables as down payments on the finest used trucks and cars in brand new Dodges, Chryslers, Fords, Suzuki's, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on the balance. That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way. The only way they know how.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Take a drive down a back road somewhere, and what do you see? Farms. It's impossible to miss them. They're everywhere. Eastridge Transportation LLC in Gill reminds us that those miles of golden pastures are what brought America to its feet. The American farmer and rancher, a dependable resource. This message was brought to you by Eastridge Transportation LLC. They want you to know that they're involved in keeping our area a great place to be. Eastridge Transportation LLC, located in Gill, 330-6624.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
This is Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, standing in for Dr. Stan. We're talking about today's World Affairs Brief, covering the growing objections to Obama's health care plan. Clearly, the Democratic congressmen are getting an earful, and they realize that there's going to be a lot of political problems to pay for if they push through this health care reform plan, which is nothing more than an open-door ability to bring in socialized medicine into the United States. Arlen Specter, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, switched from being Republican, held a town hall meeting in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, where he was booed and jeered for at least an hour. One man began shouting because he was not given an opportunity to speak. He says, well, I guess you're not going to listen to me because I'm not a lobbyist with all the money stuffed in your pocket. One day he said, God's going to stand before you, he told the senator, and he's going to judge you and the rest of your damn cronies on the Hill, and then you'll get your just desserts. Well, this man, Arlen Specter, is a known conspirator going clear back to the JFK assassination, where he served as one of the staff attorneys on the Warren Commission. He's the one who came up with the magic bullet theory to explain how one bullet went through three or four turns in the air and hit two or three people without ever being deformed. And, you know, it was obviously a planted bullet, and he came up with the theory to explain how it went through both Kennedy and John Connolly was sitting in the front seat. It was just an incredible piece of work. But he has been carrying water for those who conspire to take away liberty, playing like a Republican, always playing like he was against what was government was doing, but would always vote for it at the last minute. So it's no surprise to me that he's turned tail and become a full Democrat now. In Missouri, for example, Russ Carnahan, Democrat in Missouri, met many protesters, but most of them were turned away at the door, while there was this service sector unit, FEIU, which is one of the fastest growing unions in the United States. Those members were allowed in, and protesters were kept out. The event resulted in six arrests. Afterwards at the town meeting, one of the attendees, Kenneth Gladney, 38, was beaten and kicked and called racist names outside the meeting. There were lots of protest signs, including "Where's the birth certificate?" People continued to be very concerned about the fact that Obama really does not meet the constitutional qualifications for president of the United States. In Florida, Kathy Castor's town hall meeting was abruptly ended after 1,500 citizens attempted to enter an event intended to hold only 250 people. People outside chanted, "You work for us, tyranny, tyranny, read the bill." A businessman with a shredded shirt talked to police and complained that staffers attacked him, twisted his arm, and tore his watch off. In Maryland, Senator Ben Cardin faced booing and jeering constituents. It's just been that way all around, and it's continuing as we speak. Gary North, Internet's most well-known economist, points out that the Obama people won't say about the inevitable rising costs of government systems. Medicare's hospital program went broke in 2008 and nobody noticed. This was taken from the March 25, 2008 press release from the U.S. government's Department of Health and Human Services. Quote, "This year the HI Trust Fund will spend more than its income from 2009 through 2017. About $342 billion will be needed to be transferred from the Federal Treasury to cover the deficit in beneficiaries' hospital insurance." So, you know, it's just impossible to believe that this health care reform, in fact, will, be a cost savings. And, of course, Obama is saying, you know, the costs are too high. The reason costs are too high in health care reform is because everybody thinks it's free. It's too many people have the appearance of free insurance. They're not being required to pay deductibles and other things that would make them be more careful about their health. This was pointed out by Whole Foods Markets CEO John Mackey in an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal. And he's the first one to come out with some very constructive alternatives to the Democratic package on health reform. He says, "While we clearly need health care reform, the last thing our country needs is a massive new health care entitlement that will create hundreds of billions of dollars of new unfunded deficits and move us closer to a government takeover of the health care system." He said, "Here are eight reforms that would greatly lower the cost of health care for everyone. Number one, remove the legal obstacles that slow the creation of high-deductible health insurance plans and health savings accounts." Health savings accounts are kind of like IRAs that you save a certain amount of money and you can dip into that tax-free if you have a health problem. The combination of high-deductible health insurance and HSAs is one solution that could solve our problems. He gives an example in Whole Foods Markets. He's in charge of, pays 100% of the premiums for all the employees who work 30 hours or more per week. That's about 90% of all their employees for their high-deductible insurance plan. We also provide, he says, up to $1,800 per year in additional health care dollars through deposits into employees' HSA accounts, their personal wellness accounts. Money not spent in one year rolls over to the next and grows over time. Our team members, therefore, have an incentive not to use their health care things. They take care of themselves, try to stay out of the doctor's office, and they have a deductible of $2,500 for anything major before the insurance plan kicks in. This is an incentive to spend $2,500 more carefully and avoid eating habits that lead to unhealthy conditions. He says, therefore, our plan is much lower than typical health insurance while providing a very high degree of worker satisfaction. Number two, he says, equalize the tax laws so that employer-provided health insurance and individually owned health insurance have the same tax benefits. Right now, only employer-provided health insurance are fully tax-deductible, and thus there's no incentive for individuals who aren't employed by a large corporation to buy it. This is unfair, he says. Number three, repeal all state laws which prevent insurance companies from competing across state lines. And this would be important for getting the cost as low as possible. Repeal government mandates regarding what insurance companies must cover. These mandates have increased the cost of insurance by billions of dollars. What is insured and what is not insured should be determined by individual customer preferences, not through special interest lobbying. And this, of course, is reaching a draconian degree in the Obama health care reform, where everything from drug and alcohol counseling and marriage counseling is being demanded to be included. And everybody in those industries is loving it because it means their business will not have any resistance from the public since it will be paid for by their insurance. He also says we need to enact tort reform to end the ruinous lawsuits that force doctors to pay insurance costs of hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. And these insurance liability insurance policies are then passed on to us, the consumer. He says make costs transparent so that consumers understand what health care treatment costs. Enact Medicare reform. We need to face up to the fact that Medicare is bankrupt. And finally, he says revise tax reforms to make it easier for individuals to make voluntary tax-deductible donations to help the millions of people who have no insurance. He says health care is a service that we all need, but just like food and shelter, it is best provided by voluntary and mutually beneficial exchange. A careful reading of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution will not reveal any intrinsic right to health care, food, or shelter. Back in a moment after this break.
Home for rent at Carter Lake with great views from wraparound deck. Just 15 minutes from Loveland or Berthoud. Has two master bedrooms with two full baths. Is partially furnished and includes hot tub, fireplace, wood-burning stove, storage sheds, large garden. Chickens are optional. 2 acres with plenty of room for your outdoor toys. Great neighbors. Pets are welcome. For more information, call 970-667-4509. That's 970-667-4509.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
This is Joel Skousen standing in for Dr. Stanley Montes on the American Freedom Radio Network. We're talking about health care reform and the disaster that it is going to be. I might say that we won't get through my review of today's World Affairs Brief that's coming out. If people want to get a sample, free sample copy, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. Well, do we trust the Federal Reserve? David Wessel's new book, In Fed We Trust, a play on words for In God We Trust, is the latest in the media conspiracy to propagandize the Federal Reserve as the, quote, fourth branch of government, which it is no such thing, and essential to the nation's financial welfare, which it is no such thing. The powers that be have trotted out the economics editor of the Wall Street Journal, David Wessel, for this massive disinformation effort. He's been doing the TV interview circuit with almost nonstop since the book's publication in late July, and not a single journalist has challenged him about his one-sided view, which is, of course, pro-Bernanke, pro-Paulson, just a cheerleader for the Federal Reserve. Wessel was given exclusive access to the big three insiders who run the show, Bernanke, Paulson, and Geithner, so it's only natural that he writes this book from their carefully crafted half-truths. The Random House blurb says, believing that the economic catastrophe of the 1930s was largely the fault of sluggish and wrong-headed Federal Reserve, Bernanke is determined not to repeat this epic mistake. In this penetrating look inside the most powerful economic institution in the world, David Wessel illuminates its opaque and undemocratic inner workings. Well, that's an understatement, but they almost praise the fact that it has to be undemocratic in order to do its job. Well, this book is a total and complete apologist view, almost worshipful in tone. In no case does he give the opposing view, except as a token introduction to the carefully prepared rebuttals of Bernanke and Paulson that he showcases and amplifies. Even Reuters noted there was room for deeper investigations on what really went on behind the scenes. They say former U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson often talked to the head of Goldman Sachs at the height of the credit crisis, but claimed he did not actively seek the help of the bank he once ran, you know, as if you can believe that. The New York Times on Sunday reported records of 24 conversations between Paulson and Goldman Sachs chief executive Lloyd Blankenfeld that same week last September. The rival bank Lehman Brothers collapsed and insurer AIG, closely connected to Goldman, was rescued with public funds. Goldman was a majority beneficiary of the AIG bailout because AIG handed the money over to Goldman, paying off their derivatives bets, and received more than $13 billion in counterparty payments ultimately funded by taxpayers. All of this is a concerted effort on the part of the establishment to halt the movement to audit the Fed and curtail its independent powers. Obviously, the powers that be are very worried about the following response to Wessel's book by a blogger. Says now he, Wessel, is playing politics by describing the violations of secrecy as being violations of the Fed's independence. What's the real reason Bernanke doesn't want the records for where our loans and money are flowing to be ever be released? Not in 1 year, not in 2 years, never to be released. He's a criminal trying to hide his crimes. Well, the constant barrage of positive spin imitating from the news media is keeping the public in a hopeful mood about the economy. Not having any real effect, except in those areas where the Fed is directly injecting money, such as the wasteful Cash for Clunkers program, or the federal and state incentive payments being offered on the purchase of a new home. Without these artificial injections of cash, these two markets would be going nowhere. As Reuters pointed out, for the first time, more than 34 million people are receiving food stamps in May. The government said another symptom of the longest and deepest recession since the Great Depression. Enrollment in food stamps surged by 2% to a record 34.4 million, and Florida had the largest increase at 4.2%. And Paul Craig Roberts talked about the government figures that manipulate the official view of the economy. He says, let's look at the reported decline in the rate of unemployment. Do you believe that the U.S. auto industry added 28,000 jobs in July amidst GM bankruptcy, sell-off, and close down of GM auto divisions? Well, no. That's what the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported, however. The 28,000 new jobs were created by, quote, seasonal adjustments. July is the month when jobs are automatically added by the BLS to seasonally smooth out the layoffs of auto workers during July's retooling for the new model year. Adjustments are also made for supporting industries. which are partially idled. More phantom jobs were created by the birth-death model. The payroll jobs data contains guesses about the numbers of new startup company hires and jobs lost from business failures. Failed reports for businesses don't report these lost jobs and new jobs are not captured in the reporting, but the government estimates these numbers based upon growth periods, not recessionary times. So in other words, they always estimate them going up. It's like your county assessor always raises the assessment of your houses, but in a recession like this, they never go down. And the employment outlook was further improved, says Roberts, by pushing another cadre of workers who have been unemployed for too long off the unemployment records, making it look like less people are filing. The length of the current downturn means that short-term discouraged workers who are counted among the unemployed are now moving into the long-term discouraged category, which simply erases their existence. He says all sorts of distortions have found their way into the official statistics. For example, industrial production estimates are based on electricity consumption. But in hot weather, this causes a jump in air conditioning use, and appears that the statistics aren't it looks like it's an increase in industrial output. And cool weather spells during summer reduce electricity, resulting in a phantom drop in industrial output. Well, these are not, you know, good statistics by any means. Well, this is the way that things work at government. Of course, the crisis is not over. There are many, many things going wrong with the economy. Bankruptcies are at all-time high now. Home foreclosures are still happening in greater numbers. This month was the third highest in history. Of course, Bernanke's pulling out all the stops to increase inflation of the fiat money supply. He's lowered interest rates to zero. Backstopped the entire financial system with $13 trillion. Of course, that's only gone to the insider banks. He's monetized $1 trillion in mortgage-backed securities and U.S. sovereign debt, but nothing has worked. Wages are still falling. Banks are cutting long lines of credit. Retirement savings have been slashed in half, and home equity losses continue to mount. According to Bloomberg, borrowing by U.S. consumers dropped in June for a fifth straight month. So hold on to your hat. This is not going to end soon. But Joel Scouser turning into Dr. Stone.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Staff and families of Brown's Appliance and Service Center takes this time out to recognize and salute the Brighton men and women in uniform, standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's always remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Their efforts abroad and our support has kept America strong. That's from your friends at Brown's Appliance and Service Center, where Alan Swain and his family and staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live. That's Brown's Appliance Service Center at 204 South Main Street in Brighton. Call 659-0410.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Hello. This is Joel Skousen standing in for Dr. Stan in our last segment on American Freedom Radio. Going to talk a little bit about the fact that the United States government is still paying Blackwater millions of dollars. Jeremy Scale, who reports that in May the State Department announced it was not renewing Blackwater's Iraq contract, and the Iraq government has refused to issue the company an operating license. But they're still there. State Department claims we're transitioning them out, and that means more and more millions of dollars. Despite its scandal-ridden track record, Blackwater, which has rebranded itself as JXE, continues to have a presence in Iraq, trains Afghan forces on U.S. contracts, and provides government-funded training for military and law enforcement inside the United States. The company is also actively still bidding on other government contracts, including Afghanistan. As long as it is in Iraq, they say, apparently the government is still going to deal with them. Of course, Blackwater's role may be slowly shrinking, but it continues to have its workers being shuffled off to other companies like Diancor and Triple Canopy, and then Blackwater gets paid as a kickback. So obviously things are not what they claim. Also, there's the issue of Obama's Kenyan birth. Obama was born in Kenya, that's a fact, but we now are witnessing another use of key government disinformation tactics where they wrap a controversy of truth in a forgery in the hopes of getting the truth itself discredited. Someone has provided attorney Orly Tate with a purported Kenyan birth certificate of Obama. It's a forgery. Kenyan government officials interviewed by WorldNet Daily indicate key anomalies. But the Tate document has sparked a firestorm of controversy over its authenticity. A Washington Independent source has stated that the document was nothing more than an alteration of a certified copy of registration of birth from an Australian Bloomberg document that has also been posted on the Internet. Well, several aspects on the certificate were impossible chronologically. In 1961, Mombasa was a part of Zanzibar, not Kenya. So it should have said the coast province of Zanzibar. The area was later ceded to Kenya. Moreover, the African nation was the dominion of Kenya until December 1964 after declaring independence in 1961. Kenya was not officially the Republic of Kenya until some 10 months after the February 17 birth date on the Tate document. But you see, these are what we call straw man arguments. You create a straw man or something easy to knock down, and then you get the truth of the process knocked down in the process. They did this earlier in the Obama campaign by putting out a forged Associated Press news release claiming that Occidental College had finally released the student records of Obama, showing that he was a foreign student and had a foreign scholarship. In fact, it was true that he was a foreign student attending Occidental College, did have a foreign scholarship. The mere fact that they dressed it up in a forged AP document, and when that got exposed, of course, the content must be false as well, which was not true. They also did that with George Bush, for example, when they were trying to cover for him going AWOL and not fulfilling his reserve obligations in the Air Force. They went and got an underling under the former commander of George Bush to write a letter stating that, in fact, George Bush was given special treatment, that he was AWOL, and then they showed that the document was a forgery. Well, once again, they put truth in a forged document and then get both of them discredited. It's a very slick trick. Well, it's been a pleasure to be with you, and Dr. Stan will be back next week. Thanks for being with the American Freedom Network.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
Hi, Phil here with WolfAutoGroup.com, saying thanks for trading with us. We're excited to take your dust collecting or unused assets or valuables as down payments on the finest used trucks and cars and brand new Dodges, Chryslers, Fords, Suzuki's, Jeeps of your choice. I will trade for anything, even your skill or labor. Try me on. Great financing available on a balance.
That's WolfAutoGroup.com. Many locations for your convenience. Call Phil personally at 303-931-9096. It's 303-931-9096.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal.